Today is Sunday, December 23rd, 2018, and this...
Las Vegas detectives are turning up the heat on Michelle.
It's 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 674.
Las Vegas, we are! Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're going to give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you this evening?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. That's possibly my favorite opening clip we've ever used.
Huh. You used that because I brought scones into the house, didn't you?
No.
Okay.
No. Not specifically. Are you just trying to get me to jump right into bitching about scones?
No,
I am
not. Is
that what this is? No, I'm not going to.
I've already heard enough of your scone takes.
My scone-related hot takes. We have a lot of Vegas things to talk about this week, so we have no time for scones.
All right.
Besides, if I were to eat one, my throat would be all like filled with dry crustiness, and I wouldn't be able to speak for the next however long this is going to last. So we're going to just skip over that and go right to the podcasting.
As opposed to the times you spend, it's lots of fun.
If you'd like to hear me complain about scones and other things live, you're going to have a chance sometime next fall. We announced a few days ago that the Summit is returning in 2019. We'll be doing our always fun live event with our friends Hunter and Misnomer and a cast of thousands. If you're a new listener, you're not familiar with what the Summit is. It is a live weekend of Las Vegas fun.
I'm glad it's a live weekend, not a live weekend.
Yes, that is the plan, at least. Our friends at the D are going to be hosting again. They have not yet gotten sick of us, which is a big surprise. When you think that by now they'd be like, nah, we're good. We took the year off. We gave them an out. They could have said, yeah, you know, we've kind of retooled how we do these things. We're going to maybe pass this year.
Right.
Nope, they jumped right in. So we look forward to that. We appreciate their hospitality. We don't know exactly what, there's not a lot to say about it at this point, and yet I'm going to continue talking.
Please do.
We don't have specifics as far as when it's going to be held other than fall 2018.
Right. It might fall on the weekend that we have had it in the past. It might not.
Yes.
So
do not book any flights or anything silly like that because it would be premature.
Yes.
We'll see. We do know that we're going to be doing our podcast live, so you do have that to look forward to. Other stuff is in the works. We've begun discussing some things that I think will be fun if they should occur. Maybe we'll bring back some favorites. Maybe we'll have a bunch of new stuff, probably a combination.
Yeah.
So it's going to be great and really looking forward to it. It was nice to have a little break from it, but that kind of recharged us, I think.
Right. Now we're rejuvenated and ready to go.
Yeah, we're ready to roll. So yeah, every so often we just need to take a little break. We did that. So this thing has been around in one form or another. It kind of evolved from 2008 was the first year we did a live event. It was called Vegas Podcastapalooza. We did three of those.
Yep.
Two of them at Palms, one at Flamingo.
Yep.
And then we took a year off, and the Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic was formed. And that was held, I don't know, we weren't there, it doesn't matter.
Right, it was in 2011 at Planet Hollywood.
And we took a bit of time off from that, and then we came back in the next year at Bally's, and then it just got bigger and badder and more fun from there. And then, so we turned it into this thing, the Summit.
Yep.
And that is the evolution of our event. It's been fun. It changes every year. It's a little different. And I'm really liking what we did last time, and I know that I'm going to really like what we do this time. So, we will bring you additional information as soon as we can. Be patient. It might be a while. We'll see. But we're going to do it. So that's the plan. I think there'll be some people who are happy about that.
I think so, too.
All right.
Shit, I have to start packing.
For the Summit?
Uh-huh.
That seems a little premature. I know it takes you a while, but I can see you might want to start planning out, because you always have quite a splashing wardrobe for a splashy or splashing wardrobe for the summit. So yeah, you might need to start coming up with concepts. Start storyboarding your wardrobe.
Yep.
As they say, when inappropriately using the term storyboarding. Anything else to say about Summit?
Nope. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be great. All right. Another thing before we jump into the usual stuff. Many of you, of course, contributed to the GoFundMe campaign for the memorial paver in honor of our good friend and Vegas nerd, Al from San Diego. And the Neon Museum has installed the paver, and it looks wonderful. I've seen some pictures of it. I know our friend Dave, who headed up that campaign, posted on the Facebook group and on Twitter pictures of the paver. It is located right next to the Elvis star from the questionable Vegas Walk of Stars.
But it is in a prominent place, and that's very cool.
It's great. Yeah, I can't wait to see it in person. It's really, really cool and very nice thing that that you guys have done for Al. So just wanted to mention that. If you get a chance to go to the Vegas Neon Boneyard, the Neon Museum, that's what you want to look for. Look for the, I think they call it the Electric Promenade or something. I believe it's when you're going on the tour, when you come out of the building, I think they've turned the walkway from the building to the, you know, the full Neon Boneyard. I think they've turned that into this memorial area. It's not all memorial stuff, but anybody wants to buy a paver can. But I think that's where they have it. So that's the scoop. Looking forward to seeing that.
Me too.
And thanks again for those people who were involved, Dave Lifton. And I know that our buddy Stephen Brown was the one who initially floated the idea of doing this. And it was a great idea.
Yes.
Glad it worked out. And benefiting a good cause for all of us Vegas nerds. We like to see the neon preserved and all that stuff. So I think Al would be quite honored by this. I was going to go off on a little tangent about that stupid Walk of Stars because they just inducted somebody again.
What? They're still doing that?
Yes. And it's, again, somebody that
no one's ever heard of.
I don't know who the fuck this guy is. Half of them are like Latin performers that I don't know. That's fine that I don't know of them, but I don't, I'd like to see some sort of credentials as far as what their ties to Las Vegas are.
Yeah.
It's a weird deal. Like, somebody's buying all this stuff for these people who are not necessarily super renowned, I guess. If something happens to me and I have an untimely demise,
please don't.
I hope I don't. But if I were to do that and our listeners were looking for something to do to honor me, I know it's $20,000, but I feel like maybe they could throw together a quick GoFundMe and I could get a star on. It would be like my ultimate legacy to be represented on this bullshit sham of an honor on the Las Vegas Boulevard.
And could I, could we call you a humanitarian showgirl?
Yeah, you can call me whatever the fuck you want. I'm not going to be there. That'd be my final fuck you to be represented on this thing.
Oh, God.
Let's hope it doesn't come to that.
No.
But
no.
All right. So with that happy note, let's move along. We have several people to thank this week. Our podcast, of course, is listener supported by our Patreon patrons. We are very appreciative of their ongoing support of the show. We have a bunch of new ones this week, including Tim Ryland, Joel Wells. I'm going to butcher the fuck out of this name. I'm going to try. Do you want to try it?
No.
You like me? You like to hear me make an ass of myself? That's what the show is all about. Erez
Nizamian.
Thank you. I'm sorry to mess your name up. Although it is kind of a rite of passage in the Vegas nerd community to have me mess up your name. Erez Nizamian, right?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, buddy. David Soule, Misnomer, Jeff Waterman, Kathy Bucalo, Aaron Walker, and Abby Rathburn. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
We do appreciate it.
And thank you for letting Tim read your name.
Yeah, sorry about that. If you're interested in having your name butchered on this podcast, you can do so by supporting the show on a monthly basis through Patreon at patreon.com/5hundy. We throw some bonus content at you once in a while. And in fact, so we've been doing this thing for some of our Patreon, or a couple of the Patreon levels of supporters. We've been doing this series of podcasts called 5 Minutes On for the last year and a half, roughly.
Yep.
And we're almost done with that because we've made it through all of the Vegas resorts and casinos, and at least on the Strip in downtown. And we've discussed each of them for 5 minutes randomly by pulling them out of a coffee mug. Mm-hmm. And I came up with a new idea for something to replace that. So I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, no. But coming...
You told me what it was, and you're very excited about it. And I'm intrigued as well.
Yeah, coming, I think it'll probably be January or February is when we'll be ready to roll out into something new. So that will be fun, a new podcast series for our Patreon folks. So there you go. We've got some other stuff too. I still have another video from our trip to post, I think. And yeah, anyway, check it out, patreon.com/fivehundy. We appreciate all of your support.
We do.
All right. Bunch of news this week. We're gonna get through the news from the last 2 weeks, actually, because we didn't do any last week when we had our Patreon, single
Hundy
focus.
Awards thing.
Hundy Awards.
Announcement show.
And then, which was live streamed for our Patreon people. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking of. And then we're going to do an analysis of the Hundy Awards. And we're going to hold on to phone calls for next week, maybe the next couple weeks. We'll have a bunch of them. But
we'll have an extravaganza.
Yeah. So anyway, let's jump into the news because there's quite a bit to talk about. As you know, if you've listened to the show for a while, the Hard Rock is going to be converting to a new name and brand. It's going to become Virgin Las Vegas. Virgin Hotels Las Vegas, I guess, is the full name. They've announced a little bit more as far as the transition plan. Originally, they said they were going to start in, I think, April of 2019. Now it sounds like they're going to wait a little bit longer. There are some existing contracts in place and stuff, and they've decided to hold off a little bit. So, according to the Review Journal, renovations are going to begin sometime late summer, early fall of 2019. They're going to be on a fast track to get this done, though, and I think they're doing this in a smart way. It's going to be roughly an eight-month renovation, mm-hmm. and the final 4 months of that is going to be a complete shutdown. So we've seen a lot of, like, Park MGM is a good example, Palms is a good example. Most hotels, when they do a renovation, they will remain open mm-hmm. and do bits and pieces at a time. There are a lot of...
there are advantages and disadvantages to that.
Yeah, the one advantage is it's still open, so people can still stay there and stuff. Mm-hmm. The big disadvantage is it's very disruptive.
Yeah.
And it takes longer, and it's not as efficient. So I was happy to hear that this is the way they're going. They're shutting down for 4 months, and it's going to be a massive renovation of the hotel, the casino areas. I think we're going to see some different restaurants. Who knows all what's going to be included. The nice thing is, for those who are working there, they have a plan in place that allows employees to still get compensation. I don't know what percentage. I don't mm-hmm. know how this is. But there's going to be some compensation during the shutdown for employees.
That's good.
And they are able to get to keep their same positions when it reopens. So they don't have to reapply or anything.
Oh, that's good.
Sometimes properties will use something like this as a chance to clean house, mm-hmm. and they're not doing that. So I appreciate, even though it's new owners, their loyalty to the people who work there. It's a nice thing to see.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening there. I'm sure announcements will be rolling out throughout 2019 of what they're going to be bringing in as far as new restaurants and which shows will be staying and going and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff.
Will Magic Mike still have a home?
That is up in the air. We don't know. I think they kind of hinted that it probably would, but I don't know. Don't know how long their contract is for. Don't know what. I don't know. There'll be a lot of things like that we will find out throughout the year. So we have that to look forward to. I'm really curious, you know, after they convert, I think it might be worth staying for a night or two over there to see how they incorporate the Virgin brand. We mm-hmm. have mentioned on this show, we had the good fortune to stay at the existing Virgin hotels. They're opening a bunch of them, but the original one is in Chicago, mm-hmm. the original one in the U.S. at least. And they have a very particular kind of room style. So this is a complete renovation of all the rooms, not just new carpeting and new furnishings. It's laid out in a specific way. And if they plan on doing that, they almost have to shut down mm-hmm. because it will take a complete. I'm surprised they're able to do this in this quick of time.
Yeah.
Because I would think that it would involve like running different like plumbing and stuff. If they move the restroom to the middle of the room, like they mm-hmm. have it in the,
yeah,
the one that we stayed in. I don't know. We'll see.
Not in
the center of the room, but
no,
like they have
no.
a, they have
it's
a,
like you walk in and you have your living area and then you have the bathroom and then you have the bedroom
yeah.
and it's all separated by walls and doors and things. So you're not putting on a show every time you use the facilities.
Right. So anyway, we'll see how that works out. I'm curious to see it, and I think, yeah, I might want to stay there when it reopens. So
didn't
there you go.
Caesars have something awkward like that with some of their rooms where the shower was...
Well, Caesars, yeah, it wasn't there a thing where you had to walk through the shower to get to the tub or something, or vice versa? There have been a few rooms like that where it's an odd setup, but this is a little different than that. This is... Yeah, but I know what you're talking about. So there you go. That will be coming in 2019 and 2020. Always exciting stuff when there are big changes happening. Speaking of big changes, Plaza, downtown Las Vegas, we'll be talking about a little bit during the Hyundai analysis as well. They have some big plans on tap, apparently. There was an article in a publication or a website called CDC Gaming Reports, and the CEO of Plaza, of PlayLV is the company that manages Plaza, and Jonathan Jossel is the CEO of that. He discussed a little bit about their long-term plans, and he said that by 2021, they plan to start a full redevelopment of all their land. Now, if you ever look at the chunk of land Plaza has...
It's big.
Yeah, it's 17 acres. It's a massive plot of land, and some of it, you know, they're using now for this core arena equestrian thing. I think they have some other space
equestrian
there.
Equestrian/ demolition derby.
Yeah. Whatever the fuck we can book arena. That would be a good name for it. I think they have some other land too that's kind of unused. But then they also have the Greyhound bus station. That's an acre of space that they, according to these plans, they're going to evict Greyhound, it sounds like, and use that space for their own resorty use. So we'll see what they come up with for that. But they're planning on doing a lot of things there. I'm very curious to see what they come up with. And then in addition to, one of the things my expectations for anything happening at Plaza are very low, and it's based on history. A lot of the things that they've tried have been extremely unimpressive and not lasted long.
Right.
Like the beer garden.
Or the club with the mini golf and the...
Yeah, that's right. And then they tried like three different things for that other bar across the casino, and then they just ended up fucking walling it off.
Right.
They've got a ton of space back there that's not being used. You would think that they would at least like use it for casino space or something, but I don't know.
And maybe... I feel like if you can't make stuff like that happen on a small scale, what's going to happen when you go on a bigger scale?
Right. The other thing too that goes into it is we stayed there. Now this is work I had like 6 years. It's been a while.
Yeah.
It was right after they reopened with the renovated rooms and they had purchased, purchased unused furniture that was intended for the Fontainebleau project on the Strip. When that didn't happen and Fontainebleau sold everything off, they bought furniture at a discount. Wise move. It allowed them to shut down, much like Hard Rock's doing on a smaller scale, and renovate all the rooms and reopen. So we stayed there shortly after that, and we had a couple issues. One is a minor issue was that the furniture, even though it was brand new, was already starting to look worn.
Yeah.
After, so I can't imagine now.
Oh,
it's been 6 years. And by the time they do this massive renovation... It'll really be in bad shape. Although they're doing some, some other renovations.
And even though it was renovated, the furniture really didn't fit the room exactly.
Right. Yeah, that was the issue because it was intended for another layout. It didn't. It wasn't quite right.
But the main issue we had was the noise.
It was fucking noisy. There was a screeching. It was like a screeching and then like kind of shaking, pounding noise.
Yeah.
And it was the elevator, I think.
Right.
We were on the top floor, and it wasn't just our floor because I went down to the casino floor and the elevator opened on a different floor, and I asked them if it was noisy, and we weren't right by the elevator either.
No.
It was like the whole floor, but I asked these people a few floors down if they were having the same issue, and they said they were. I think they were on the 18th floor, and they said they were, but they were previously on the 17th and it was noisier there. It was I assume that maybe they've figured that out and gotten that fixed. I haven't heard much about noisy elevators there in a while, but anyway, the whole experience was like meh.
Yeah.
Yep, it's Plaza still. Fresh coat of paint on a fucking, what's the thing? Fresh coat of paint on a, there we go.
Yeah.
Let's go with turd. So anyway, and then there's the whole thing with Las Vegas Club. They owned Las Vegas Club before it was bought by Derek Stevens and leveled. And they ran, it was already in a downward spiral, but they didn't do anything to rescue that property at all. They let the thing deteriorate. They shut down the hotel, which I understand because of the economy and all that.
Right.
But the casino was shitty. And then they had these plans to turn most of the casino, if not all of it, into a CVS. That was their big direction for the future. So I question the decisions of management at Tamaris and PlayLV, which run Plaza. And it's going to take a long time for me to... It's going to take some impressive shit for me to get over that and go, okay, these guys are coming up with some good ideas.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope they do.
I mean, I want them to.
And then the casino smells. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't smell like ass as much as it used to, but now it smells like they're perfuming an ass to get it mm-hmm. to not smell. So you walk in there and it's just, it hits you and it's this strong.
Yeah.
It smells like, oh, you're trying to cover up that your casino smells like an asshole. So now it smells like, I don't know what the fuck it smells like now, but mm-hmm. it's super perfumey and at least it varies depending on when you're in there. But sometimes it's really strong and sometimes it's not quite as strong, but
it's not great. Good.
So that is where I fall on Plaza stuff. I've had some people ask about that, and I wish them luck. I hope they mm-hmm. do come up with something.
I would like them to do something cool.
I would like to be impressed at some point.
Right.
They have some good stuff. So they've got, like, Brightside is a nice addition, that little restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice quick place to grab a bite to eat. Papa Pizza's not bad. Oscar's has some good food. So they do yep. have some good things going for it. But as far as the casino part and the hotel part, I'm just kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
I'd rather spend my time at most of the other places downtown.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I come down on it. Anyway, ahead of the 2021 redevelopment.
They do have bingo, though.
Yeah. Good. Have bingo. Not a draw for me.
Some people love bingo.
I know. I'd have to play it. Maybe I'll play it sometime. It might be fun. I don't know. I don't know that I'm the bingo sort. Maybe yeah. I'd love it. Maybe I'll try it sometime. So ahead of these big plans, they are already doing some additional work. Jonathan Jossel posted on Twitter the other day that they have gutted, it looks like, an entire floor of the hotel, of one of the towers. And he said it's complete renovation, not just you know, replacing furniture, and they're changing the room layouts.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say how extensive it was. I think they have 1,100 rooms total, but I wouldn't imagine they're doing all of it, because a couple weeks earlier he posted that they'd replaced all the door locks instead of having the keys that slide in.
Yeah.
They've got the RFID keys you just hold up, which is great because then you don't have to worry about them demagnetizing and all that shit.
Right.
But you would think that they would hold off, if they were going to do the whole hotel, mm-hmm. renovate it, that they would hold off on these new door locks until after they had change the layouts and stuff. So that's what leads me to believe they're doing a couple floors so that they can offer some new suites and some new room types. But we'll see. I'm sure that there'll be more information about that as those rooms are available. So always good to see that there are changes happening. And even though I'm not big in this place, I like to see improvements. I hope that this is a good improvement and it brings people happiness. There you go. Please impress me at some point, Plaza folks. I'd love to be impressed by you. I'm waiting. All right. Speaking of room changes and new room types, this is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
A while ago, it's probably been more than a year now, that we discussed the new bunk bed rooms at the Link. And apparently that's been a success because Flamingo is now rolling out bunk bed rooms.
Okay.
As of right now, they have 14.
If I were 10, I'd be all over that.
Yeah, well.
But only my sense of humor is 10.
That's true. They're adding 14 bunk rooms along with one suite, which is pretty much the bunk room plus a living area. Each of these rooms has two. They're trying to cram a lot of people in these rooms. Two queen beds.
Mm-hmm.
And then above each of the queen beds, they have a full-size bunk. So six people is what they're trying to accommodate in these rooms. They're pretty good. I mean, it's like 500 square feet. They're bigger than the Link rooms, which are only like 350 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
The suite then is about twice as big, and that has a kitchenette and, you know, lounge, living room area as well. So if you're into this, they're available February 1st, starting at $115 for the bunk rooms, $310 for the suite. I would imagine that'll be during the slowest periods of time during the week. Most of the time they'll be more expensive about, you know, than they are at those rates. You know, these fill a niche. I can see there's a time in my Vegas going career where I shared a room with people other than you.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably would have done something stupid like this our first couple times out just mm-hmm. to save money.
Because you slept on a rollaway a few times.
Well, I did.
On the guy trip.
Yeah, I guess I did one year.
Yeah. Then the next year you decided to stay up all night instead of sleeping on the rollaway.
I'm not doing this shit. I'll stay up all night.
Yeah.
So, you know, for younger, more budget conscious groups of 22-year-old college students or something.
Who don't mind sharing that much.
Right, exactly. Yeah. you're more willing to put up with a lot of shit when you're younger too.
Mm-hmm.
Like now, there's no way in hell I would ever do this.
Yeah.
But then it made sense. It would have fit more in with my tolerance level mm-hmm. and my budget. So I get it. So there you go. If you have a group of friends that are super cheap, or if you don't have any money and you still want to go, or, you know, this might be an mm-hmm. option. There's a ringing endorsement.
Uh-huh. If you enjoy sharing a bathroom with five other people.
There's that issue too. Six people and one bathroom?
No.
No, that's no bueno. All right. Other big things happening at Caesars Entertainment. We mentioned, it was way back in September. Do you remember September of 2018?
I do.
Some would refer to it as the golden age of podcasting. We had a segment then. We did it once. It hasn't come back because there hasn't been anything noteworthy. We had a segment that we did called Trademark Watch, where we discussed a couple items that I had spotted on trademark websites and what they may possibly mean. And mm-hmm. one of those was a Caesars Entertainment trademark application for Caesars Rewards. And at that point, we speculated that Total Rewards might be changing to Caesars Rewards. That is what is happening. It is official.
Ooh, is that a 500 exclusive?
I don't care. No, I think... I think it's already been claimed as an exclusive by someone who talked about it in October. So, do the math.
Uh-huh.
The nice thing is, a lot of times when changes to players' clubs are rolled out...
Yeah.
They tout how great they are for the player, and they never are.
No, they're not. They're horrible. They're great for the company. They're yeah. not great for the player.
We're looking at you, Boyd Gaming, Be Connected.
Yep.
However, what is good about this is that they have announced there's no significant changes to the benefits. The only thing they've announced is there's like two additional benefits. One is for every 5,000 tier credits you put on your card, you get a free night in Las Vegas or Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you put 5,000 points on your card, you're going to have free Las Vegas rooms
regardless.
Often, so yeah. I don't see that as much of a benefit. Atlantic City is probably a little different because the room situation there is more confined. And then they've added something, I think it's for like Diamond and Seven Stars, where if you put a certain number of points on, you get a couple free nights in Dubai or something.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're interested in going to Dubai, look at the fucking website. I'm not going to do the homework for you because that affects like 0.0003% of Total Rewards, Caesars Rewards cardholders.
Mm-hmm.
But at least they're not downgrading any of their stuff that we're aware of at this point.
Yeah.
So this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
As far as when they're still using the Total Rewards name in emails and stuff, I've only seen it used in this one announcement. So I'm not sure when it'll happen. Probably January 1st. So there you go. Total Rewards is becoming Caesars Rewards. Some people think there will be confusion around the locals markets where people are used to playing at Harrah's and they still associate Total Rewards with Harrah's.
Oh.
They don't necessarily know that Caesars owns them.
Harrah's.
Yeah, they'll adjust. These things happen all the time. It's not that confusing. So there you go. At Cosmopolitan, there is a resort fee change. Now, we don't often talk on the show about resort fee increases because it's so regular. It happens every year at most casinos at this point.
And then it just gets people riled up.
Most hotels. Exactly. It's just part of the thing. These fees are going to increase. Get used to it. But
it sucks, but...
It is.
It's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cosmo is raising its resort fee for January... Beginning on January 1st, from $35 to $39 a night. This is not news. They've had that in their terms of service for months that this is going to be happening. However, one thing that people seem to be pleased about is that when they do this, they are including the parking fees for people staying at the hotel. So if you drive in or rent a car, you're actually going to be paying less than you would.
You're not going to have a parking fee on top of everything
right,
else.
Which I think was six, I don't know. It was like, I don't remember what the rates are. For valet, it was like 18. And for, anyway, you're saving money. You're saving a few bucks a night if you are someone who parks at Cosmo. The rest of us can go fuck ourselves. We're going to just pay the resort fee increase.
All right.
So $4 more a night. That's how it goes. So at least I think we're going to be seeing more of the, not necessarily rollback of the fees, but maybe creative fee changes because there's been so much backlash. I think they might be getting it a little bit. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't think it's going to be a major thing. I know that some people are saying, oh, this is it. Parking fees are going to fall soon. Or nah, I don't see that happening. But at least giving your hotel guests included parking, I think that's a step.
Mm-hmm.
That's always kind of, I mean, the whole thing rubs me the wrong way. But
yeah,
at least for the people who are staying there, let them fucking park for free.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, so maybe we'll see some more of that. We'll see. All right, we've got some Las Vegas residency news. Let's start with Lady Gaga at Park Theater. Her run of shows begins in just a few, like one less than a week, 5 days,
yep.
December 28th.
Friday.
I know, I can't wait to see the set list. Look forward to seeing what she's doing. So that's going to be the Enigma show, which is her big spectacle of a full production show. And then she's doing about, I don't know, 30 or so of those. And then she's also doing a handful of these jazz and piano shows. Now, she's originally was scheduled for 4 of those. However, she recently announced she's doing 5 more. So now we're up to 9 jazz and piano shows. The new ones are in June, October, and November. The first of the originally announced run of piano shows begins in mid-January. So if you had wanted to see that, but maybe weren't able to fit it into your schedule based on when the original 4 were announced, take a look at the Ticketmaster site and see what's available for the June, October, and November shows. Tickets are going fast, but there are still some available. So, you know, you're going to pay up the butt for them because small theater,
mm-hmm.
awesome performance. But
yeah,
if you're into Gaga, I think it'll be worth it. We've been spending way too much time talking about Robbie Williams lately, but in addition mm-hmm. to his second batch of shows, which quickly sold out at Wynn Las Vegas, he has announced another 3 shows.
Ooh.
So we're now up to 15, count them, 15 Robbie Williams shows happening at Wynn Las Vegas. The new ones are occurring in early July, in addition to his previously announced March and June shows. I looked to see what was available. There are still some, but not a lot, so I won't be surprised if additional shows are announced.
Mm-hmm.
Check the Wynn Las Vegas website if you are interested. All right. There's a band that has been performing at the Windows Showroom at Bally's for a while. They are getting rid of all their shows because they're planning on turning into some sort of magic room or some shit. We'll find out when they officially announce
magic
it.
Magic room.
But they've decided to move Bronx Wanderers. They've been playing there for a while. They are going to be moving over to the Link, and they will be performing at the Matt Franco Theater beginning in January. So that's a larger venue for them. Hopefully they'll be able to sell enough tickets to continue performing there long term. I understand they put on a decent show.
Yep.
So if you're interested in that, don't look at Bally's. Look at the Link. That's where they'll be. There was a recent interview in Japan with members of Def Leppard. I keep up on all of my Japanese interviews with Def Leppard.
Uh-huh.
And I learned through...
Was this on Blabbermouth?
It was on Blabbermouth.
where you also get your rat news.
My rat and LA Guns news comes from Blabbermouth, and I got some Def Leppard. I was like, ooh, a Vegas-related thing. I can use this. they are working on details for a new residency in 2019. You may recall they had a Hard Rock... a residency at the Joint at the Hard Rock a while back where they did the Hysteria album from mm-hmm. top to bottom. They don't have details finalized. Sounds like they haven't signed contracts yet, but it's likely that they're going to have another residency in 2019. Unlike the last one, it's going to be a greatest hit show, most likely. They said at least that's the direction they were headed. It hasn't been finalized. It also sounded like they would probably be going to a different location just based on some of the side comments they made. My guess would be the Pearl at Palms, mm-hmm. since they've been stepping up their residency game. It seems like that would be a good fit, maybe Planet Hollywood, but I have a feeling Palms might be the place for this.
Yeah.
So that's, or maybe House of Blues.
Hmm.
My gut tells me the Pearl.
It would be fun to see them in a smaller venue.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I would go see them for sure. We've seen them before. They put on a good show.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's it for residency news. One final note, restaurant stuff.
How do you pronounce this?
Dopey.
Dopey?
I think so.
Is it supposed to be dope?
Dope? Maybe it's dope.
I bet it's dope, but I want to say dopey.
I want to see dope. Okay, anyway, D-O-U-G-H-P, a cleverly spelled word that's
mm-hmm.
made up, is a...
However, I'm liking the concept.
Oh, I'm all over this when it opens. This is a dessert bar that exists in San Francisco, apparently. And they serve cookie dough, raw cookie dough in different flavors. And it doesn't have raw eggs. The whole thing about cookie dough, and I know everybody in our audience has had raw cookie dough. Mm-hmm. And at some point been told, don't do that. It has raw eggs in it. You can get salmonella and die. Mm-hmm. And
Does it stop anyone?
No, we all do it. We're all like, fuck that shit. This is delicious. And anyway, they figured out a way to make it equally tasty without the eggs. And mm-hmm. they're going to be opening a dessert bar in Planet Hollywood sometime in 2019, I believe in the spring. It's going to be located near PBR Rock Bar, according to Eater, which is conveniently located right off the casino floor and right around the area of Earl of Sandwich.
Hey, hey.
Perfect fucking dessert after a delicious sandwich.
Yes.
So they have cones and cups, just like an ice cream shop, except mm-hmm. instead of ice cream, cookie dough. I'm down with this.
I am too.
Fantastic. You can go to Eat Dope, I guess.
EATDOUGHP.com.
Yep. You can see their flavors there. It's a fun, like they have fun flavors and website and social media. And mm-hmm. I like their branding. I like their, it's a fun product. Mm-hmm. They're doing it right. And I'm very excited to try their product.
Me too.
So look for that in the spring at Planet Hollywood. All right. So we are going to talk about, we're all caught up on news. Whew, that was
Yay.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the Hundy Awards, which were held last week. You may have mm-hmm. heard the awards ceremony.
I'm not dressed up like
I
was last week.
No, this is low key. This is not formal. That was a very formal event.
Mm-hmm.
The red carpet ceremony, which was not broadcast, was really something. You should mm-hmm. have seen it. All right. So we're going to talk about just some overall trends and stuff.
Yeah, we're not going to run down every category and comment on it.
You can go back and listen to last week's show, or I have a page on the website. I will put a link in this week's show notes. There's also one in last week's show notes where you can look at the whole list of favorites and not favorite, or favorites and least favorites. But one of the things that I like to do, we used to do this with the Trippies when those were a thing,
mm-hmm.
is just discuss kind of what some of these combinations of voting trends might mean about our listeners and people who voted and stuff. Anyway, so first of all, thank you to everybody who voted. I know it was a time-consuming process and probably kind of a pain in the ass to get through everything, but it was a fun thing to do. We had a really good response. I am, at this point, leaning very heavily to doing it again next year.
Yay.
Yeah, I had fun with it, and it went fairly smoothly as far as pulling the results together. I will be streamlining it a little bit if it does come back. I think I've learned a few things about categories that could go mm-hmm. and maybe I'm thinking like for the bar, specifically for the bars. I mentioned that we're not bringing back the wine bar category.
Yeah.
I think I'd probably nix cocktail and beer bar as well and just mm-hmm. go with casino bar and not casino bar. And part of that is I think maybe things have changed quite a bit in terms of like, if you walk into a bar in Las Vegas now,
mm-hmm.
you expect a good beer selection.
Yes.
So, there used to be a thing where you had to really seek out a good beer selection.
Yeah.
I remember
those days.
Not as tough now. Even at mm-hmm. a standard casino bar, a lot of times you're going to have a couple options that aren't just Bud and Coors.
Right.
So, it's not as much of an issue as maybe it used to be. And same thing with cocktails. Everybody has an amazing cocktail menu now.
Right.
So, we can just probably do the overall and you know, mm-hmm. wine, somebody made the point, you can go into pretty much any like steakhouse or any good restaurant, they should have a decent wine list.
Yep.
So it's not necessarily something where you need to have a specific wine focused bar.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. So I think we'll get rid of those, but we'll see as we get closer to it. But looking at this year's awards, one of the things that I found noteworthy is that Cosmo got the majority of, not the majority of awards, but they got the most awards, I think, the most favorite awards.
Mm-hmm.
At 9, they got hotel, casino, slots, casino bar for chandelier, cocktail bar for chandelier, drunk food for secret pizza, view for the terraces, mm-hmm. soundtrack, and bath products. So they did quite well. I think some of this, obviously, we love this place.
Yeah.
We've discussed how this has become our home base.
Mm-hmm.
It is still the newest ground up resort.
Yeah.
You know, there have been the renovated stuff like the Link and SLS and Cromwell, but it's not really the same. You know, those mm-hmm. places, they're pretty substantially different than they used to be, but there's still a little bit of that new casino shine at Cosmopolitan. Mm-hmm. Plus, they're doing things differently. It does stand out in terms, not as much as a themed hotel might,
yeah.
but in terms of what they're doing inside, I think it's different than what you get elsewhere on the Strip.
And do you think it has anything to do with the fact that it's not an MGM or Caesars property?
Maybe. I know a lot of people, including myself, fear that if MGM Ugh. Were to buy it, which has been rumored on and off forever, that it would certainly lose.
It would change.
It would certainly lose a lot of what it has going for it.
Yeah.
So maybe in just that you see a lot of, like, we know MGM has standardized their upper level hotels have this, they all have this same type of bath products, whereas their lower have this type of bath.
Mm-hmm.
So at least with Caesars, something as simple as bath products, they have their own, they've changed theirs. I know yeah. you mentioned that, but they have their thing and it's
Cosmo
not
has their
the
thing.
Same.
Yeah.
yeah. Cosmo. It's not the same as
yeah.
the guy next door or across the street,
right.
something as small as that. Yeah. There's something to be said about independence
mm-hmm.
and also the terraces.
Just,
that's
oh,
that's
the terraces.
Such a selling point
God,
as far
I
as the rooms.
Terraces. But just the fact that they're trying quirky things like the barber shop. Is that what the new place is
yeah.
going to be called?
Yeah.
And Beauty in Essex. And
it's some different stuff.
Yeah. I feel like they're, some of the restaurants they have there wouldn't make it into an MGM or Caesar's
property.
That's
just it. Their restaurant lineup is so good in there.
Oh,
I mean, we've gushed over Cosmo before, and this certainly isn't intended to be a commercial for them. It's just
right.
that's truly, honestly, the place we enjoy spending the time the mm-hmm. most on the Strip. And obviously, for a lot of other people, it's the same. So, now one of the things that I thought was interesting is that the two favorite casinos, Cosmo on the Strip and the D downtown, they got favorite casino. But other than favorite slots for Cosmo, they didn't take any of the other favorite gambling categories, video yeah. poker or blackjack or craps. So that's a little weird, don't you think?
That's interesting.
Like here, this is my favorite casino, but it didn't, obviously some people probably voted for those things
yeah.
for their favorite casino as well, but none of them got enough votes to be favorite blackjack or whatever, and yet it's favorite casino. So that tells me that the what you enjoy about a specific casino might be well beyond just the games,
mm-hmm.
and that it's more about
hanging out there and feeling comfortable.
Yeah. I would say that for me, I don't necessarily, I usually play video poker.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, the places I enjoy playing video poker are not necessarily my favorite casinos.
Yeah.
That's, it's weird when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the main thing I like to do in a casino is gamble. The main game I like to play is video poker. But the place that I like playing video poker is different than the places I like to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
It's an odd thing. But so I guess atmosphere means a lot. However, then you've got the situation where the D won favorite downtown casino,
mm-hmm.
but got least favorite soundtrack. And as I mentioned last week, a significant number of people put volume or noise
mm-hmm.
in parentheses or next to their vote. I don't know what to make of that. Like, oh, we love hanging out in the casino. It's not because of the games. We don't really like the volume of music. We have a great time there. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a weird combo.
Mm-hmm.
Yet Cosmo got favorite soundtrack as well as favorite casino.
Yeah.
Because I do think, for me, the soundtrack plays in.
Yes.
Although I've been in plenty of places where I don't necessarily like the music being played,
mm-hmm.
and I still have a good time or whatever, but
yeah.
it's an added thing if you like the music as well. I don't know. What, like, do you have any specific characteristics that you think, when you think about the places you really like to play or the casinos you really like to spend time in, like, what is the overall, is there a thing you can put your thumb on that, oh, that's why? Or is
not
it just
really? It's just
it's almost like a gut feeling, like,
yeah.
oh, hey, I enjoy being here.
I enjoy it here. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. Like I said, that split between the games that we like to play or the places we like to play our favorite games and
mm-hmm.
that being different than our favorite casino.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why that is. The mind is a weird thing. But at least we're not alone in that. We see from the votes that that's the way it goes for a lot of people.
Right.
Let's see. What else is else is interesting here?
Oh, so Circus and Plaza.
Oh yeah.
Excuse me, I've got a throat tickle thing. They got least favorite, but they didn't get any of the individual least favorite gambling categories.
Right. So yeah, the opposite side, but kind of the same trend.
Like, I just do not want to hang out here.
I don't want to hang out here, but it's not because of the specific games you're offering.
Right.
It's just I don't
overall vibes.
Yeah.
Which I get.
Yeah. Yeah, there's...
Like, if... I think Plaza has pretty decent video
they
poker.
They do. And I'd like to play the video poker there. It's not my least favorite place to play video poker because I like the video poker there, but I don't like to be in that casino that much. Yeah, so it's just... It's a strange thing, I guess. Yeah. Other stuff we mentioned last week...
I remember when you were tallying the results, you said, oh, there are a bunch of differences, but then you tallied up the casino and hotel stuff, and a lot of it was the same.
Yeah, that's where it matched. The favorite and least favorite casinos and hotels were identical for the strip, downtown, and off-strip.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you like to stay close to the casino you like. I guess it all ties in. Maybe it's hard for people to separate when they're voting for this stuff, too. I know sometimes you'll see, I don't know, I think our audience is pretty sophisticated and understands the difference between a hotel and a casino, obviously. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while you will, if you look at room reviews online though,
yeah,
like you'll see people on like TripAdvisor or something like that, where they're supposed to be reviewing the hotel and they're bitching about losing money in the casino. It's like, that's not the hotel, that's the casino. So there is some of that out in the world, but I suspect that it is just a case of
people like to stay where they play.
Yeah, it gets kind of lumped in together a little bit. Caesars got dumped on a little bit, at least in the gambling categories. They took a least favorite slots, video poker, and blackjack, but it wasn't like people were massively voting for Caesars stuff overall as least favorite. It was very specific to those categories because they got favorite buffet, they got favorite production show for Absinthe, and favorite nightclub for Omnia.
Yeah.
Which I like to see that. Because I know, you know, there were instances years ago with the Trippies where every they did best and worst, not favorite and least favorite, but every worst category would be circus.
And they ended up retiring it after a point because
So I guess it's nice to see that people put thought into this and weren't just like, fuck this place, and voted that least favorite for everything.
Yeah. Although I kind of get it. Like, if you're in a mood, you're like... Yeah, and you are like, fuck this place.
Yeah, and I'm sure there were some of those votes, but overall the trends kind of even out as far as offsetting people who might be inclined to vote all one way.
Yeah.
Let's see.
But I think we said this during the announcement show, too, that Caesars, the name itself, probably takes the brunt for the overall.
I think so, because, the gambling conditions at most of their properties are going to be the same video poker pay tables, the same blackjack rules and all that stuff.
Except for Cromwell, because we like it there.
Well, we like it there because of the opposite. That's why we like it.
That's why we like it there. Please don't change.
Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of... So yes, Caesars took a little bit of a hit regarding the gambling stuff, which wasn't a big shock, I guess. A lot of the favorite... individual gambling categories for favorites other than slots and poker. So slots went to Cosmo, poker went to Aria, but for the other specific games, I noticed not stuff on the strip. So Main Street Station got video poker, El Cortez got blackjack, Golden Gate got craps, and Westgate got sports book. Least favorite, on the other hand, for gambling, pretty much all went to the strip. Caesars, Wynn, Excalibur, New York, which kind of lines up with the gambling stats. We keep hearing about how gambling revenues downtown are up, gambling revenues on the strip are down. Well, this kind of paints that same picture in a different way. The strip resorteers, casino, you know, casino management, they have only themselves to blame for this. I think people mm-hmm. are tired of 6-5 blackjack and at Wynn, the, you know, the craps conditions being not only being changed, but then Steve, who was still in charge, going on a conference call and bragging about it.
Yeah.
That's pushing people to play more downtown, I think, mm-hmm. or at least have an appreciation more for downtown, where they can still get a decent video poker pay table and still find 3-2 blackjack, even though we're seeing some of the strip trends. You know, we're starting to see more 6-5 blackjack at some of the properties. We're starting to see some of the drink ticket nickel and diming show up downtown.
Some of the video poker pay tables have been scaled back
a little bit. So yeah. I caution.
I don't like that trend at all.
No, and it's like downtown typically prides itself on
being a good value.
Yeah, they might want to you know, really think before they do too much of this stuff that might be successful
mm-hmm.
budget wise on the strip, because long term you're rubbing people the wrong way and eventually
and that's going to send people to the casinos that are farther out,
like home, instead of even going you know, eventually that those it does matter. Or fewer trips a year, which I know we've had people on the Facebook group saying they're not going as often, and
mm-hmm.
I totally get it. So I hope that the downtown operators take note and start to, and understand that this stuff pisses people off, and they do notice, and they do remember, mm-hmm. and it does matter. As far as restaurants go, Pizza Rock did quite well.
Yeah.
That one got favorite restaurant as well as favorite pizza. As far as favorite restaurant, I was going to mention Mon Ami Gabby at Paris was second in that category.
Ooh, that's a good place.
Yeah, people like that one a lot, not just because the food is decent, but also, of course, the views are great. Mm-hmm. You can watch people.
Watch the fountains, but you can also watch the people.
Yeah, the freak show walking by on the strip is always entertaining. We mentioned a little bit last week about the odd combination of secret pizza. So the pizza category was interesting to me, because Pizza Rock won by 3 times more than the second place mm-hmm. number of votes for secret pizza, which won by, or which came in second by twice as much as the third place vote, which was 550
mm-hmm.
at Aria. So secret pizza did, it made a pretty good showing, even though it wasn't really that close. There's still a pretty good distance between second and third.
Mm-hmm.
And it also got best drunk food.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it got worst or least favorite. What did it get? Least favorite pizza? Yeah. So it got least favorite pizza, but it came in second for favorite pizza and it mm-hmm. got favorite drunk food.
Hmm.
So very maybe polarizing place.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. I like it sober or drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, Pizza Rock is my favorite as far as pizza places in Vegas. But
same here.
If I'm on the strip, I'm all too happy to have some delicious, greasy.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's the grease factor.
Secret pizza. That's part of that type of pizza, though. It needs a little grease.
Best drunk food. That's why.
Restaurant chains, the national chains, did quite poorly, which I'm not shocked by. White mm-hmm. Castle, Denny's, McDonald's were the top three for least favorite restaurant and drunk food. Taco Bell Cantina, of course, got least favorite taco joint. Outback got least favorite steakhouse. The only national chain that really did well was In-N-Out mm-hmm. for burger. And people are very passionate about In-N-Out, which that's more of a regional chain.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily national, but it's a big chain. But that also got second for least favorite burger joint. So again, kind of like Secret Pizza. People feel strongly about that one, apparently. Mm-hmm. One of the things that surprised me for entertainment is the winner for favorite resident headliner or resident performer. Because initially my mind goes to, although I don't think she had a show in 2018, but like Britney Spears,
mm-hmm.
Celine Dion, a big musical performer.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the winner was Penn and Teller.
Yeah.
Makes sense. They've been there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They get good reviews.
Yep.
But that, for some reason, that one surprised me. I would not have, if you had told me, my mind would not have gone in mm-hmm. that direction at all. Well deserved, but it was surprising to me. The only other really thing that I found super noteworthy that I mentioned a little bit last week was High Roller getting favorite and least favorite paid attraction. And I feel like it's been around long enough now where people have had a chance to experience it mostly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're going to, And I guess based on that experience, it's fallen into two camps. Either, this is a pretty good addition, or what a waste of space.
Maybe it's the money thing. Like, maybe, because it can be, if you don't, because the first time we wrote it for free, right?
Yeah, I think we got some passes for
Total Rewards.
Yeah, I think so.
But it seemed kind of expensive if you were paying for a non-bar car.
Yeah, I've definitely changed my opinion, my perception of High Roller since before it opened. Before it opened, I thought, meh. And then it was like, well, this is something I'll do once. How many times have we done it?
Twice.
We've done it twice, and I did it once with my brothers and my dad and that crew. So, and I would probably do it again with them if they wanted to next time. I don't know if they will, but so I don't know if I'd say it's the best free or best paid attraction, but I don't dislike it anymore. And I don't, the other thing too is I've become very used to seeing it.
It's part of the skyline now.
It is part of the skyline, and I don't hate it as part of the skyline either.
Yeah.
So I know that it wasn't the one when they put the London Eye up, wasn't that supposed to be temporary?
Yeah.
It was one of those things where people thought it was, at first they thought the idea was hideous and stuff. And then it's like, oh, this is now part of the skyline. You become used to it and you identify with it. I kind of feel that's somewhat the case, at least my perception of the Strip skyline and High Roller. It's one of the first things you see when you're flying in, you know, from the distance, it's very prominent, and they do a nice job lighting it up at night and all that stuff. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know, though. I'm trying to think, like, as far as paid attractions, I don't remember specifically. Oh, I didn't vote. So, I'm having a hard time coming up with anything that I would necessarily put ahead of that.
Yeah.
We don't really do a lot of the... A lot of the paid attractions are one and done. So, I guess that alone, the fact we've done a paid attraction more than once... is probably a pretty good sign.
Would you say like the gondolas or maybe even the speedway, would those be?
Yeah, I mean, those would fall in that category.
Zip line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll be curious to see if we do this again, like where the, by then the Link zip line will have been around long enough if people feel that's a, zip lines tend to be pretty polarizing too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that one, that one seems pretty underwhelming as far as the views.
Yeah,
like, I mean, at least Fremont, you've got the, especially at night, you've got the light, the canopy going on and everything.
Yeah, the one on, seeing video of people flying over the Link Promenade seems pretty underwhelming. And it's not as wide as the Fremont Street Experience.
Yeah.
You're getting a lot of rooftop.
Although that's what you get with the High Roller for the first bit too. Because when you're going up, you get, look, it's a parking garage.
And on the other side, it's nothing. It's just like parking. Yeah, that's true. You make a very good point. I don't know. So maybe people will end up liking the Fly Link or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Are there any other specific categories or anything on the list that you thought was intriguing or that you wanted to talk about? Or do we cover the big ones?
I think we covered the big ones. Yes, we did.
You know, the big story, the least favorite trend is a big story, and that's the whole concept of declining value. And that's been going on for a few years. Goes back to what we said earlier about fees. People are feeling nickeled and dimed. You've got the bar top drink ticket thing, and you've got...
And that takes away from your vacation. You just want to go somewhere, forget about stress, forget about daily life. And when you have these fees, it takes you out of that a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. So I think it's just, it makes you not feel as great about the places you're playing and staying. So I totally get that. I do totally agree as well. If I were voting, that would, my vote would fall into that category too, I think. Just scanning the list to see if there's anything else. You know, whenever you get something like least favorite, we have the least favorite ever-present Vegas celebrity, and that went to Chris Angel. And I know Chris Angel and his show and all that gets shit on a lot. And occasionally when there are certain Vegas personalities that it's easy to shit on. Chris Angel is very much one. Guy Fieri is another one. And whenever that, when every so often someone will post something on the Facebook group like, hey, they do a ton of charity work. They're actually pretty good guys. Totally don't doubt it at all.
Yeah.
But I think it's based on their...
Their personas.
Their personas are douchey. Very... going to be polarizing.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to have, it's hard for me to, I appreciate that he's involved in charity or whatever, but let's say like Guy Fieri.
Mm-hmm.
He's adopted a look that is not going to age well, and he's already 50 years old.
Same with Chris Angel.
Chris Angel, too. He's at least modifies his look a little bit from time to time with a new hairstyle or whatever. Mm-hmm. Fieri is locked into that fucking douchey spiked blonde hair. And
did you see the
does he have a soul patch?
Yeah. Did you see the meme with the dandelion with his head?
No.
And like, it's got his head as the head of the dandelion, and then someone blowing the spikes of his hair away.
Anyway, if you adopt a very strong image like that, mm-hmm. it's going to turn off a lot of people to your, and that, you know, that's going to probably get you a lot of least favorite votes. Image is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I totally get these guys might be super nice guys. Although there were some bad stories about Fieri. I don't know why I'm talking about him. He didn't get voted this.
Yeah.
I think he probably did get some votes, but Chris Angel won it. But yeah, I don't know. None of us really know these people as people. It's based on their image and all that stuff. But
I would not do well as a full-time celebrity.
And would you do well as a part-time celebrity?
Nope. That either.
Me neither. I want none of it.
Nope. Nope.
All right. Do we have anything else to say here?
I don't think so.
I feel like we've covered a lot of stuff. It's fun talking about some of these trends. And again, assuming we do this next year, then there'll be a little bit more to compare it against as far as year over year and how much things do or do not change. So that'll be something else we can talk about then. But I, again, want to thank everybody for voting and making it a successful first shot at this. I appreciate you taking the time. And yeah, I think we'll do it again. So there you go. Thus closes out. You know what's a great side effect of this?
Hmm.
A side benefit. I've already been able to use it once on the Facebook group.
Really?
Yeah. There was a discussion somebody started. I'm not a fan of the what's the best blah, blah, blah questions because it is. And part of the reason that these were favorite and least favorite is because one person's best is another person's worst.
Yep.
And you can it's easier to criticize, like, well, that's definitely not the best when somebody votes for something that they like. But there's no way it's the best in Las Vegas where you've got, you know. If you were to say that the best hotel, for example, is the D, I like the D.
Mm-hmm.
We stay there. It's a very nice place. But to say that's the best hotel in Las Vegas is ridiculous when you've got the Four Seasons and Waldorf Astoria and all these.
Nomad now.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was always, I think, maybe one of the criticisms with some of the trippy results.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I decided, you know, favorite, least favorite, it's harder to.
You're still going to get some of the.
Oh, yeah, you're going to. But anyway, one of the nice things on the Facebook group is somebody did posted a discussion about it was a video of behind the scenes tour of one of the buffets and said, is this truly the best buffet? And I was able to post just a screenshot of the one line. I said, and the Hundy Award goes to and Caesar's Bacchanal.
Yeah.
So we have something we can refer to now when somebody, even though it's not a best and worst, if you're looking for the opinions on this group of what their favorites and least favorites are, we have something we can point to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's helpful. And I like that.
Hooray.
All right. We're going to hold off. We got a shit ton of phone calls, so we're going to hold them for next week. I have a feeling there's not going to be much news in the next week because holidays, there's usually not a lot of announcements. There might be a few things that come out, but not a lot of changes between Christmas and New Year, but I'm guessing we'll probably still do a show next week, maybe, unless we just don't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
But if so, we've got a ton of phone calls to get to. We've got a gambling with Tim and Michelle that we've been holding on to from the last trip.
Oh, yeah.
We can roll that out one of these days.
You want to roll that out because you want to be able to reference it later on.
That's true.
Because there's, yeah.
All right.
You might walk around the house in the voice of this particular machine.
I know. I love the machine. Okay. So, yeah, maybe we'll use that next week. Definitely soon. But before we go, we do have a bunch of karma donations from the last 2 weeks. So I want to make sure and get thank yous in to all of these fine folks for their support of the show as well. Starting with Vegas Bound 13, longtime supporter of the show and an all around great guy.
Yay.
He said he was, oh God, I haven't played it. This is the pre-Christmas show. How could I fucking miss this? You were hoping, weren't you? You were hoping.
I am Siegfried. And I'm Roy. Our white lions and white tigers join us and wishing you a magical holiday season.
And a special New Year's with all your dreams coming true.
All right. So our friend VegasBomb13 said, wishing you and Michelle a magical holiday season and a special New Year's with all of your dreams coming true. And said, thank you for a wonderful year of another year of wonderful Vegasness.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We appreciate you.
And thank you for reminding Tim to play that clip.
I know. The whole show, I would have gotten hate mail had I not played that. There are a surprising number of people who love that clip. I know you're not one of them, but Nick and Emily from Colorado, longtime listeners, first-time karma donation. Nick said, wife and I will be staying at the Cromwell. This was, they were staying there last week, so
awesome.
I hope you had a good trip and enjoy the Cromwell and had much success. And thank you very much for your support.
Mm-hmm.
Longtime listeners, John and Uda with a karma donation for a trip that happened last week. Now, apparently last time they did a karma donation, Uda won. She hit a royal at Bar Prohibition.
Awesome.
And John was hoping to get his first Vegas royal.
Well, I hope that happened.
Didn't see anything on the Facebook group or anything, so I don't know. But hope you guys had a wonderful trip, regardless of that. Eli said, to a safe trip and plenty of things to report. Thank you for being you.
Aww, I'm assuming
that's
for you as well.
I'm assuming that's aimed at you. Scott in LA said, hey guys, bummed I didn't get to link up with you for Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Vegas.
Glad you had, Vegas, you know. All plans are tentative when it comes to Las Vegas.
No, he said thanks, Vegas, instead of Thanksgiving.
Oh, he did say thanks, Vegas. Why not? We know. Yeah, okay. Anyway, wanted to karmically donate for another quick 48-hour trip,
nice.
which is probably just wrapped up. It was just the last couple of days. And hopefully to help him recoup for November. I know that feeling as well. Our next trip will be I hope that I can get my money back.
Mm-hmm.
You're never supposed to chase your losses. So let's go chase our losses. looking forward to staying at Cosmo for the Cool Ranch Mist Room. Oh, yes.
Yes.
At the spa. Happy holidays and much love. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your support. Hope you had a wonderful time. Nathan with a karma donation for a 3-day layover. That's an awful long layover.
Mm-hmm.
Way to schedule a layover, though. Usually a layover is like 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, fuck it, I'm staying 3 days.
Nice.
Good move. As he makes his way back to Toronto for Christmas. We'll have a wonderful time in Toronto and in Vegas as well.
Yes.
And good luck. Karma donation from Rick. Thank you, Rick. Another one from Trevor and Amanda.
I know
they've posted some stuff on the Facebook group. They always post great stuff during their trips. I always enjoy following their. They always look like they're having fun.
Yeah.
Which you're in Vegas. Most people are having fun, but they post these happy pictures. I'm like, I want to be with them. They look like they're having a great time.
They know what they're doing.
They do. Chris with a karma donation for a 3-night stay at Aria with his wife. This is her first Vegas trip, and he has way too many things to share with her.
Oh, you'll just have to go back then.
I know. You got to, hopefully she'll have a great time. You know what? There's a lot of things we didn't fit in. We're going to have to do another one. So thank you, Chris. Appreciate that. Couple more. Alex with a karma donation ahead of a quick pit stop in Vegas on the way to and back from his boyfriend's family for Christmas. Booked a tower premiere. I love these fucking room names. Tower Premier Deluxe Suite at Luxor. That's a lot. Usually deluxe just means your basic thing, but this is a
Premier
Tower is the way to go at Luxor from what we understand, because the pyramid is kind of a little shanty, but so good move with that. I think you'll probably have a decent room. And a comp room at Flamingo on the way back. Trip report to follow, probably. The big question mark, probably, because as we said, all things in Vegas are tentative.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Bill from San Diego. In perpetual Vegas Lent all year and down only $150 bucks as of Thanksgiving. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a fucking win, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
This is a karma donations in hopes of finishing 2018 in the black. Well, I hope that works out. Thank you very much. Thanks to all of you. We appreciate your support.
You
are far too kind, and we do appreciate everything you've all the support in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We packed a lot of shit in this week. 500bymidnight.com is the website. Of course, if you want to look at that whole list of Hundy Award favorites and least favorites, you can find it there. If you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions, send them along, 500@gmail.com. You can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And of course, voicemail line. We got a lot of calls to get to. We'd love to have more. 702-866-9494. Anything else before we go?
Nope.
Would you like to sing a little Christmas song together?
Which one would you like to sing?
I don't know. I don't really want to. I just wanted to see if you wanted to.
I was surprised that you even said that. Do you need to play the Siegfried and Roy thing one more time?
Oh, is that a request? If you request, rather than sing, if you wanted to...
I am Siegfried.
And I'm Roy. Our white lions and white tigers join us in wishing you a magical holiday season.
And a special New Year's with all your dreams coming true.
That request was quite a Christmas gift, and I appreciate that.
Good. I thought that would make you happy.
I did.
Good. Warmed your heart.
I might just play that on a loop around the house for the next couple days.
Oh, no. No, let's not. You could do that in your headphones.
Could do that on the stereo.
No.
All right. Well, have a wonderful Christmas and happy holidays and all that good stuff. We'll probably be back with our next show next week. I've talked a lot today. But in the meantime, thanks for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it, and we will talk to you very soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.